Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. I'm actually calling in from London today. So I'm going to talk about the agricultural programme. I think we all understand, anybody who's been involved in this particular sector, that probably one of the last frontiers for the delivery of financial services is actually to work in rural Africa. We see this as a challenge, but also there are many issues that make it a difficult challenge. The first thing is that we wanted to target the bottom of the pyramid and not just go and work in rural areas with larger commercial farmers. We recognize that the majority of the population in Africa are smallholders with very low levels of productivity. And therefore, they are the ones that need supporting if we're going to change the food availability across Africa and also change the situation in the rural areas. So to be able to do this, we needed to be able to work with organized farmers groups and farmers who are receiving good quality extension services. One of the issues that we find, and this may be a bit contentious, but one of the issues that we find is that the majority of extension services that have been delivered in rural areas in the past have been project-based. And very often, farmers are given the skills to be able to grow better crops, etc. But without access to finance, they cannot achieve the level of potential that they got under their training. However, the extension services very often leave when the project funding runs out, and we are left with a situation where farmers are not supported, and yet we are providing them finance for their crop production. The second thing is that there is very little household data and farm data available. This might sound quite surprising, but the majority of smallholder farmers that we actually work with may tell you their land area, but actually when we measure that land area, it may not be the same as what they believe. And this brings lots of issues to bear. We could actually be over-lending if the land size has been over-exaggerated. We could be under-lending. In each way, this is a risk both to our smallholder farmers and also to us as a bank. The other issues are to do with the high cost of delivery of financial services into rural areas and the ability to be able to monitor our staff and our clients and our partners. The approach which we've used is based upon our rural model. And I think the most important thing is that whilst we are a financial institution, we recognize that we are only one of the key stakeholders operating in the rural value chain. And therefore, whilst our target audience will be the farmers and farmers groups where we wish to provide financial services, we need to link ourselves with the other stakeholders in the area. The ones on the left, the market information and the infrastructural services, these should be a given in the majority of rural settings today. However, it's important that they are there so that farmers can act, operate in the economic and a commercially active way. So the three other key stakeholders that we link to when we are working in the rural areas is the extension services, the ones delivering technical support to farmers, the input suppliers, the ones who are supplying good quality inputs and support, and thirdly to the output market. So it is this key rural model that is key to how we put finance into the rural sector and also how we get our finance back out of the rural sector. If you look at this value chain and the relationship, there is actually only two partners who are technically taking on risk, and that is the farmers in the middle and ourselves as a financial institution who are financing very often the production. Now, another key part of looking at this model is that we could actually finance the input suppliers and we could finance the output market. But if we actually want to make a difference to the largest percentage of the population, we need to target the finance at a level of productivity. This simple relationship that we saw in the previous slide becomes fairly complex, and I'm not actually going to go through this, but you will recognize that there is a lot of flow of information between all of the stakeholders and partners in this rural model. And so therefore, our challenge is not just to provide finance to the farmers and farmers groups, it's also to have flow of information, a flow of funds and flows of goods between all of the stakeholders in the rural model. The other thing that we did when we started our program in 2009 is that we have designed the loan product not just to provide productive finance for our farmers, but also to recognize their cash flow. And there are two factors which I would say drove us. The first thing was that our belief that the average smallholder farmer is approximately 40% efficient in terms of his output compared to the resources that he has in terms of land and labor and water. The second one is that because of the lumpy nature of income in the rural sector, it was important for us to not only provide finance for production, but also to provide finance to try and income smooth the household expenditure. Because what we were finding is that farmers were pre-selling or side-selling their crops at massive discounts. And our estimation for this is that a traditional smallholder farmer could lose up to 50% of his gross income to activities involved around income smoothing. And that would be resorting to money lenders or side-selling his crop early. So our loan product is designed to provide finance when it's required for production, but also under item 4 to provide top-up loans, normally just prior to the harvest period, that would assist with the household cash flow and assist him to be able to market his crops in a more orderly fashion. So since 2009, we've delivered over 165,000 loans in 5 countries. We started with Malawi and Ghana, and then very quickly moved into Rwanda, Uganda, and Mozambique. And as you can see from the map, we have 3 new countries that are being started this year: Tanzania, Kenya, and the DRC DRC Congo. And what we are doing is we're bringing our design model for finance to those 3 new countries, and also bringing together all of the learnings that we have had over the last 4 years over how to handle this rural model relationship. I think I'm going to hand back to Simona to talk about the research design that was done for the impact study that we carried out last year to identify whether we were on track or not. Maybe I could provide some background on these particular examples, and I'll do the next three slides if you like.
Yes, please, John.
Okay, so I think let's go back to the Uganda coffee story, because I think this is a very important learning that that has come out of this. Here is an example where we started to engage with an organization that was supporting smallholder coffee farmers, and the organization was providing good training and good information to farmers on best practices in coffee. And on their demo plots, they were doing very well in terms of the increase in levels of productivity by good husbandry and the correct use of agrochemicals and fertilizers. But this was not actually being manifested by their coffee farmers. And the main reason is that the farmers didn't have finance to be able to access. So if you look at that situation, the farmers had the potential, but they could not realize the potential because of lack of cash flow to be able to achieve it. So whilst we're seeing very good results in terms of the performance of farmers who had access to finance, we should recognize that behind that was a technical partner providing good services. And if you look at the control, whilst they both received the same information, the ones who didn't get finance were not able to improve yields over the 3 years. The second thing is there was a very large amount of side selling of their coffee. So even though they were achieving yield, they were very often selling it up to a month early at a large discount. So by encouraging farmers to access the formal markets and get better prices, not only were they getting better yields, but they're also getting better income. The second story about soybean in Malawi, I would consider this to be a failure, and the failure was the lack of strength with regards to the output buyer who was working with the farmer, and also the technical support that those farmers received. Ironically, when we looked at this as a value chain to finance, we were actually very reluctant to be involved because of our assessment of both the extension services and the strength of the buyer. But we were encouraged to do it, and we provided the finance, I believe, at the right time. But as you can see, because of not a coordinated activity with both the supply of inputs and the buying, it was not a success for either ourselves or our farmers. So I think this is a very good example of the importance and the strength of our rural model, where you're working with strategic partners. Simona, can I give you back the presentation? I think that's the two examples. Yeah, thanks very much. So here are some of the challenges and lessons learned. I think the first thing is that as a financial institution, it is not we do not rely completely on the extension services to track and provide data on clients. We believe it's important for us to track data on individual farmers. One of the things I should say is that we lend finance to farmers operating in groups. We use traditional group methodology that we would use in urban lending in rural areas. And therefore, it is important to capture the data about not just the group as a whole, but the group as individuals as well, to identify the strength and structure of that group. The second thing is, we feel very strongly about this, the importance of extension services. We believe that they should be in place on a permanent basis. We do not believe that the average smallholder farmer in Africa could actually make all of the decisions necessary for him to be able to operate season on season, year on year at optimal levels. And therefore, he must have a reference point. I saw one of the questions that came up on the side panel to say, should we train our own staff to be able to provide technical support to farmers? We believe that we should train our staff in understanding and whichever value chain that they're working with, but we do not believe that as a financial institution, we should be the one training farmers and the one lending them money, because under that circumstances, if anything goes wrong, all the blame returns to ourselves. The third thing is that it is important. We have had cases where fake seeds and chemicals and fertilizers have been delivered to our farmers, and therefore the certification and the pre-qualification of input dealers is also an important thing. This is something that we do normally with the farmers groups and the extension services that we're working with. What we feel is important to build a quality cadre of input dealers to support our programs. And on the basis that input dealers are now receiving larger orders for their supplies, very often we find them very keen to actually work with us and keen to develop that relationship. This question about farmers and farmers groups, I think there's a very important thing here. One of the things that we're starting to identify is the importance of social capital, that farmers groups should not just be put together so that they can borrow money. Very often to begin with, those farmers groups were put together to actually be trained by an extension service. And when you introduce finance into the equation, there can be some breakdown of those groups where farmers are prepared to learn alongside a fellow colleague, but they're maybe not prepared to provide the group guarantee that would be required to borrow money from us. Finally, as far as the off-takers is concerned, very often off-takers are harvesters. They will buy what farmers produce, and very often, unless it's a question of quality, they do not actually buy into increasing productivity. So we could have a scenario where an off-taker will be prepared to buy 100 kilos of product from 1,000 farmers, whereas we would prefer him to want to deal maybe with 100 farmers and buy 1,000 kilos each. Because what we're interested in is we're actually interested in increasing household incomes, and therefore productivity per unit farmer is an important part to us. And therefore, what we would like to see in the off-taker area is more buy-in, not just to increase the total quantity purchased, but to increase the level of productivity of individual farmers and farmers groups within the scheme. So 2013 was a watershed for us, and the impact study was an important part of us looking back on what we have done. But we are now looking forward as to how we can actually improve. And I think the areas that we wish to improve is we need to improve the level of data gathering. We need to improve the access to our clients. And as you can see from the slide, under our Tanzanian rollout, we're actually going to roll out our financial services to the rural sector there without any branches. This means that we are going to equip our staff with the technology to be able to carry out all the services that they would normally provide out of a branch, but to be able to do it closer to our clients without the need for either our clients or our staff to actually operate out of a branch. So we're making use of the mobile money platform. And in fact, we just distributed our first loans in Tanzania 2 weeks ago to our first client recipients, more than 50 miles from the nearest town, where all of the disbursements for the input supply were made direct to the input dealer over the mobile money network, and all of the cash disbursements to our farmer clients was paid into their mobile money account, and they were able to cash out through the local mobile money agents. The second thing is that we are moving towards a more village-based extension service. We've been very fortunate to develop a relationship with the Grameen Foundation and the community knowledge workers in Uganda. And we are expanding that collaboration so that the extension services are not only supporting farmers, but also providing reporting and information back to us as a bank so that we can, one, reduce the number of staff that we require, but two, increase the amount of information and feedback that we get and know that the farmers that are receiving finance from us are receiving proper information from a well-equipped community knowledge worker based very close to the farmers. On a ratio of roughly between one CKW, community knowledge worker, to between 100 and 200 farmers. So they're actually able to have regular contact with them and identify issues with regards to their production and maybe issues with regard to their financial services. The other thing is that our own staff are now being equipped with tablets. So under our new rollout of technology, you can actually open a bank account and process a loan using digital methodology off with our own staff actually using tablets. And I think I'll stop there.
We get to the slide where we say thank you very much for joining us and for giving us this opportunity, and look forward to the dialogue and the questions.